Blog Talk Radio.
I'm standing on a rooftop looking out over London. Off to my left, far away in the distance, I can see just that faint, red, angry snap of anti-aircraft bursts against this steel blue sky. About 5 minutes ago, the guns in the immediate vicinity were working. I was up here earlier this afternoon and looking out over these housetops, looking all the way to the dome of St. Paul's. I saw many flags flying from staffs. No one ordered these people to put out the flags. They simply feel like flying the Union Jack above their roofs. No one told them to do it, and no flag up there was white.
Never in the field of human conflict was so much owed by so many to so few. I hope, indeed I pray, that we shall not be found unworthy of our victory if after toil and tribulation it is granted to us. For the rest, we have to gain the victory. That is our task.
Let us therefore brace ourselves to our duty, and so bear ourselves that if the British Empire and its commonwealths last for 1,000 years, men will still say, this was their finest hour.
We shall not fail or falter. We shall not weaken or tire. Neither the sudden shock of battle nor the long-drawn trials of vigilance and exertion will wear us down. Give us the tools and we will finish the job.
We shall go on to the end. We shall fight with growing confidence and growing strength. We shall defend our island, whatever the cost may be. We shall fight in the fields and in the streets. We shall fight in the hills. We shall never surrender.
I'm out on my own, walking the streets. Look at the things that I meet. I feel like I want. I still believe through the shame and through the grief, through the heartache, through the tears, through the waiting, through the years. For people like us, in places like this, we need all the hope.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the English Defence League radio show, broadcasting live on blogtalkradio.com. The English Defence League radio show, the truth and the voice of the EDL. Tonight, our show page is English Defence League radio show, Silencers. And before I continue, I've got to thank my partner in crime, Mr. Dave Agador Milner, for the slides and for doing the script for me for this week. I've got to thank this gentleman. Thank you very much, Dave. But first of all, let me read out the script for this evening. And I'll go on to say, welcome to the English Defence League radio show with your host, Jeff Spider Mitchell, that's me, and my panellists this evening are Jan the Tornado Rennie and Dave Agador Mill. Unfortunately, I don't think Jan can join us this evening. She's on assignment. But anyway, I'll continue. to say, so God bless you, Jan, for which you do anyway, tonight, as our foot soldiers, angels and supporters prepare for our next national demonstration in Wellington, Telford, on the 13th of April, we will be discussing silencers, the globalist elite political classes and their media lapdogs, who keep their wealth and power by demonising, marginalising and then neutralising all opposition to their plans to destroy Judeo-Christian civilisation. Whether it's ignoring the legitimate result of a democratic referendum, or banning speech that denies their agendas, the politicians and bureaucrats have chosen to make war on the people, and the people won't have it. On the show, we fight for truth by telling the truth. We speak for those who can't speak for themselves. We are the people, no surrender ever. And also, I've got to just read out the two comments, which the second comment, I've just used it quite recently, but I'm continuing to do so, and I've got to thank Dave for helping me on that one this week as well. All that is necessary for evil to prevail is that good men do nothing. And of course, that was by Edmund Burke. Something you hear quite often as of late. And this is the one that is really the one that gets to me, because that's all I'm going to say for this moment. Those who make peaceful revolution impossible will make violent revolution inevitable. And of course, that was by the late, great John F. Kennedy. Those words ring so true today, ladies and gentlemen. With that, without further ado, I've got to bring one of my best mates this evening. I'm seeing him, he's coming through the doors any minute now. Dave Agador Milner, welcome, brother. I should have played the music in the background.
We'll save that for a later time.
I like giving this guy a good build up. He does so much. You don't realise how much great work this gentleman does. He's an awesome, and he's a dear friend of mine. And I don't know, what would I do without you, Dave?
you'd be all right, Jeff. You'd be all right because you are the soul of this show, man. Good evening to you. Good evening to everybody in the UK. Good afternoon to everybody in the States. And hello to everybody around the world and off Earth, of course. And to our fans in the Crab Nebula. Now, we have a really terrific show going for you guys.
We got a lot going on, mate.
Yeah, we do. And the first thing we got going on, brother, is an announcement from the EDL website, brother. I'm going to pass that right to you right now.
Thank you, Dave.
And, you know, if you want to read that when you get ready for it. Now, guys, this here is titled EDL Demo Wellington, 13 April 2019, English Defense League. And Jeff is going to read it when he gets ready.
Yeah,
because I know. All right. Yeah. We have got a ton of stuff tonight, guys. We've got a ton of stuff tonight. So, you know, we got audios, we got stories. I mean, for Americans who aren't being adequately covered by the fake stream media over here in the States, there has been mucho activity going on in the UK since Sunday. You know, it's amazing, man. But 4 days and it's wow. You know what I'm saying? So, Jeff, whenever you're ready, brother.
It's building and building and building. Dave, I've just come across. I don't know what I've done. I must have flicked that. I flicked over and I was on Gab by mistake. So I'm part of the Gab scene as well, like.
So
I just flicked over. Gordon Bennett, what am I doing here? But, yeah, Dave, thank you for that. I've got it now. It's ready
all
to
right.
go. And, of course, this relates to the EDL demo in Wellington, and at Salford on the 13th of April 2019. And this was by the media team. Once again, thank you, guys. You are awesome. When the English Defence League suspended our 16th of March return to Wellington, we said we would consider another date for exercising our rights for freedom of assembly and free speech. That date is 13th of April. We suspended our demo out of consideration for the pain and suffering caused by the Christchurch, New Zealand mass murder, and to give the Muslim community and the world time to grieve and reflect on these events. As we said in our earlier statement, and have always maintained, we have a distinction between Muslims and individuals and the ideology of Islam. Muslims are not just a part of Islam, but are also individuals with their own choices to make in life and conscience, just like non-Muslims. By suspending our demonstration, however, we did not abandon our purpose of calling attention to the dangers of radical Islam. This is our right, even our duty as people who love our country and seek the best for the realm, using the traditional process of debate and discussion in the public square. While the New Zealand attack was horrific, we shouldn't let it blind us to the persistent atrocities perpetrated in the name of Islam around the world today. And for the last 1400 years plus, since the founding of Islam by Muhammad, Muslims have been as much the target of radical Islamic violence as non-Muslims. The demonstration on the 13th of April will focus on the many problems faced by our society due to the political and social implications promoted and encouraged by the teachings of Islam. Examples include the ongoing rape jihad in the area and wider region, full face coverings, female genital mutilation, wife beating, Quran 434, refusal to shake the hands of dirty kafirs, Quran 928, praying every Friday for victory over the unbelievers, Quran 2286, halal food promotion and false feeding in our schools and offices. Muslims men marrying up to four women at one time, Quran 4:3. The killing of apostates, Bukhari 084057. Just bear with me while I go down the page. My goodness, man, they put a good lot of substance in, Dave. The killings of apostate, oh, I'll just read that. The prohibition of Muslims making friends with non-Muslims, Quran 3:28. The eternal hatred of non-Muslims, and especially Jews, Quran 64, Quran 3:112, Quran 2:61. The eternal oppression and war on all non-Muslims, Quran 9:29. The so-called marriage of Muhammad to a 9-year-old girl, Bukhari 005.58236, and the belief that Muhammad is the perfect man, an example for all time, Quran 33:21. Terrorism as a means of changing society. Quran 8:39, etc. We invite all to attend, listen and learn. The end of the statement by the great, our great team out there. God bless you guys. That was awesome. And there was a lot of substance there, Dave, wasn't it? Amazing.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, man. There was a whole lot, you know. And you know, that's the thing. You know, I really like the measured tone that was struck. I mean, of course, that's going to be done. You know, and it belies the whole thing that the left does when they talk about the EDL being knuckle draggers and this kind of nonsense, you know.
Well, we've got the knowledge behind us, and they haven't.
Absolutely.
If anything, they're the ones, and we've seen that. What happened to self at that time before, didn't we? Sorry, Dave.
Well, certainly. They may not be knuckle. You know, they may not be the knuckle draggers, but they're certainly knuckleheads. You know. I gave you a story there to put in the chat, and as it happens, I am going to play that story right now, if you don't mind. This comes from. From the Breitbart, okay, and this is dated on the 3rd, guys. So this came out.
I'll just to give you a heads up. I don't think I've got that come through, Dave. I don't know if you're going with it. It's just it has come through my side.
Okay, no problem, man. I'll give that to you. Let's see. We're just going to go ahead and give that to you right now. Again here, all right. We're going to copy here, okay? And
cheers,
once
pal.
You get it, once you get it in your Skype there, you can throw it in the chat, but I'm ready to play the story because this comes off of Breitbart, and you guys will get to hear this story, Jeff. It should be coming through to you any moment now, there you'll have it. All right, and you can throw that in the chat, and meanwhile, folks, check out this story. This is about a little over three and a half minutes. So Jeff, I'm going to go ahead with this. You ready?
Yeah, go for it, Dave.
All right, man. Here we go, guys.
May condemned for subcontracting Brexit to known Marxist Corbyn by Victoria Friedman on April 3, 2019. Brexiteers have condemned Prime Minister Theresa May for abdicating power of the government to a progressive socialist shadow cabinet in Brussels. After a marathon 7-hour cabinet meeting, Prime Minister May told the country Tuesday night that she would seek another short extension of Article 50, delaying Brexit Day further, which she said would end once a deal is passed in the House of Commons. While this move may have been expected, given that the Prime Minister's withdrawal agreement was voted down for a third time in 2 rounds of non-binding votes in the Commons resulted in no support for an alternative, May shocked the country by handing power over to the far-left leader of the Labour Party, Jeremy Corbyn. In the brief statement, the Prime Minister said she will to sit down with Corbyn to try to agree a plan on the future relationship with the EU, which must also include the EU-approved withdrawal agreement. But she also added that if the two-party leaders could not agree to a single unified approach, then we would instead agree to a number of options for the future relationship which we could put to the House in a series of votes to determine which course to pursue, handing the whole of the future of Brexit, in effect, over to the opposition. The traditional Conservative Democratic Unionist Party, DUP, of Northern Ireland, whose 10 MPs prop up May's Conservative minority government, accused the Prime Minister of subcontracting out the future of Brexit to Jeremy Corbyn and condemned her lamentable handling of the negotiations with the EU. Former Foreign Secretary and Vote Leave campaigner Boris Johnson wrote, "It now seems all too likely that British trade policy and key lawmaking powers will be handed over to Brussels, with no say for the UK, and that the country would be forced to agree to exit terms that in no way resemble what the people were promised when they voted to leave. The PM and Cabinet have concluded that any deal is better than no deal, and this is truly a very bad deal indeed, one that leaves us being run by the EU. I can under no circumstances vote for a deal involving a customs union, as I believe that does not deliver on the referendum," Mr. Johnson added. Speaking later that evening to the BBC, the Brexiteer warned that if Corbyn gets his way, We remain in the customs union so that we can't control our trade policy. Huge areas of lawmaking we can't control. And Brexit is becoming soft to the point of disintegration. This approach to government is an unsuccessful one, and it also lacks democratic legitimacy. People did not vote for a Corbyn-May coalition government. They voted for a conservative government, which became a confidence in supply with the DUP. This is a deeply unsatisfactory approach. It's not in the interests of the country. It fails to deliver on the referendum result, and history doesn't bode well for it. The Prime Minister is expected to meet with Corbyn later today. Mr. Corbyn has said he wants a custom unions with the EU and access to markets, a soft Brexit that would stop the UK from signing her own trade deals, including with the US, as well as protection of environmental standards and workers' rights. While pro-Remain Labour MPs want a second referendum on the deal agreed between the EU and Parliament before the UK can leave the EU. May will also be meeting with Scotland's First Minister Nicola Sturgeon, whose far-left Scottish Nationalist Party, SNP, backs EU single market alignment, which includes uncontrolled migration from the bloc's half a billion population.
Yeah, and there you go. That's the key to it, listeners, is the migration. That's what this has all been about all along. Jeff, and we do have two more. But what are your comments there, right at that, at the go there?
Well, as I said, it's I never thought that I would see and live to see a day in all my life, many of us lives, that we'd ever see such an important thing as a Brexit being handled by her, a traitor. She's a traitor. You know, she was a Remain in the first place. We all know that. But to actually hand it to the biggest traitor in this country, who's an anti-Semitic scumbag, who also sat down with the IRA, who sat and talked with Hamas, Hezbollah, the worst possible person you'd ever think you would want to do. To try to get a Brexit through, proves how she's clutching at straws to go after one of the most evilest bastards in this world, Jeremy Corbyn. I mean, come on, even our soldiers are using his picture as a bloody target practice. He's despised. He's despised in all the military. You just don't know how much hatred there is for that man. But for her that, this is a total declaration, Dave. And I've got to say, I'm going to speak to all my listeners, our listeners, our foot soldiers, our angels, supporters, Brexiteers. They declared war on us. They're her and him and these traitors who sit in this illegitimate parliament. They are traitors. They're traitors to this country, and they're traitors to our future generations. And we cannot this cannot stand.
No.
I agree. Time, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, well, do you want me to continue, Dave, or shall I just take...
You know what? well, we do have more. You know, in certainly... You know, what you are saying is being echoed throughout much of the country, you know, because people are just sick of this mess. You know, and what I'm going to do, if you don't mind, we'll go ahead and play another one here. This is, you know, also along the lines of that story. I gave you one for the chat. Not everybody in the government is all happy and singing kumbaya about this whole thing. They see it as a betrayal of the people as well, and you get a sense of that here in this next one, Jeff. This one here is excuse me, guys. This one here is about 2.5 minutes long, and this is also from Breitbart. Okay, so. Jeff, if you're ready, I'll go ahead and play this one, too.
Yeah, go ahead, Dave. Thank you.
All right, brother. Here you go, guys.
Government Whip Resigns Over May's Decision to Delegate Brexit to Calamity Corbyn, by Oliver J.J. Lane on April 3, 2019. Theresa May's ever more precarious government has suffered another resignation, this time from a junior minister and government whip who said Wednesday that the Prime Minister was failing in both her main duties, to deliver Brexit and prevent a left-wing Corbyn government takeover. Nigel Adams MP, who was a junior minister in the Wales office and a government whip, handed in his resignation Wednesday morning. The move against the Prime Minister, which followed a marathon 7 hours of senior cabinet meetings on Tuesday intended to break the logjam over Brexit, came with a harsh criticism of May handing power to hard-left Labour leader Jeremy Corbyn, who he called a calamity. Yet, instead of moving to deliver Brexit as voted for by the British people, in the language of Adams' parliamentary colleagues, the Prime Minister is now subcontracting the business of Brexit to the known Marxist leader of the opposition, leaving the door open to an even softer Brexit than the Prime Minister had even arranged for. May said if she could not find agreement with Corbyn, she would leave it open to the Remain-dominated Parliament to set the way forward, and that she would follow. Writing to the Prime Minister, Adams said of the latest Brexit developments and their impact on his willingness to continue serving, "I believe we have two great challenges. We must deliver the Brexit the people voted for, and we must prevent the calamity of a Corbyn government. Sadly, I fear that we are now at risk of simultaneously failing in both." In British parliamentary parlance, whips are charged with the important task of enforcing discipline among backbench members of parliament to ensure they vote with the will of the government. If even the whips are unable to support the government's position, it would, therefore, point to seriously deteriorating morale levels within the governing Conservative Party. Adams is not the first whip May has lost over Brexit. Brexiteer Gareth Johnson quit in January so he could oppose Theresa May's so-called worst deal in history, EU withdrawal agreement, in Parliament votes. He said at the time, "This agreement prevents us from taking back control and instead could leave us perpetually constrained by the European Union. I have decided the time has come to place my loyalty to my country above my loyalty to the government." Oliver J.J. Lane is the editor of Breitbart London. Follow him on Twitter and Facebook.
And there you go, Jeff, and listeners, there you go. I mean, there's a man with principles there, and you know, you have to I certainly respect him, because when the Conservatives ran this last time in the UK, the one of the planks on their platform was no deal is better than a bad deal. Now, Theresa May has reversed that completely, and she's ready to go for any deal, and she's handing it over to the opposition.
It's not a deal, Dave. People seem to be misinformed. It's not a deal. It's a treaty.
Yeah.
It's no different than any other treaties that they've signed with Brussels before. So when they call it a deal, it's no deal. It's no deal that we put our ex in that
you're
box
right.
for, Dave.
You're right. It's a treaty. No, don't apologize.
Sorry,
that's what it is. It's a treaty. The only reason they called it a deal, and see, they even got me, so guys, you know, anybody can be gotten by this stuff, you know, is because it's marketing. You know, it's a lot more appealing to call it a deal than a treaty, because a treaty sounds more ominous.
Exactly.
But Jeff's right.
Softballing it,
you can call it that. No, Jeff is dead right, folks, and that ought to show you something, too. I've been doing this crap for 50 years, and that one caught me, the marketing aspect of it, because, of course, it's a treaty. But I've been calling it a deal because I've been seeing it called a deal in the news. I knew that it would have the force of a treaty, but I didn't call it a treaty, which it should have been. So, Jeff, you know, this is why you're the host of this show, man, right here.
I've heard it. I keep hearing a deal, and it's never been a deal. It's a treaty. It's a treaty,
right,
ladies
right.
and gentlemen. Whatever they say about this is no deal. No deal's better than that. No deal is better than anything that she wants to put up on the table. Her and her Marxist brother boy now, Corbyn.
Yeah.
The traitorous scumbag who deserves hanging. Yes, I've said it. He deserves hanging. things he said about our troops in the times gone past. There's plenty of articles out there, ladies and gentlemen. And for her to swing with someone like him, she should be swinging on the same rope as him as well. So I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen, that's the way I feel about it. My country's in a right bad state. All of our Brexiters, we know exactly what this is now. They've declared war. I can't believe that she's in bed with a Marxist. That now we're at war with Marxism and her combined. Because we're not standing by and letting this happen, Dave. My God, I don't care how many troops they want to send on our streets. And if Pesco, bring them on. There's 70.4 angry people out here. You want to bring on this? Bring it on. We don't want it. But you force these things on us. You've killed our democracy. And there's consequences have to be paid for that. Dave, I'm done, mate.
No, Jeff, you know what, man? That's that is a sentiment, again, that a lot of people are feeling. I mean, I'll pass you a story here while I'm waiting for another audio to hopefully get ready for us to play here. Now, this here is a story. I'm going to just read, like, the bullet points and stuff out of it, man, because, you know, what you're going to see if you look in chat at this story is the map, and it's going to be interesting. Now, I normally don't put a lot of stock in polls because I know they can be manipulated, but when the lefties take a poll and it turns out to not be in their favor, I do tend to look at it at least. Now, the poll here, guys, is... okay, well, poll here. The story, this is off the Daily Mail that came out today. And, you know, it says how most of Britain wants a no-deal Brexit. A poll shows only London and Scotland want to remain in the EU. If a deal isn't agreed, there you go, if a deal isn't agreed, there it is, Jeff. If a treaty, yeah, let's start calling it that, what it is. If a treaty isn't agreed to, by April the 12th, or almost half of voters, almost half of voters say Theresa May should resign. This is the level of anger that there is in the UK now, people who aren't getting all the coverage of this that they should. There's about four bullet points. I'm going to read those. Number one, YouGov polling reveals the North, Midlands, Wales, and South back no deal. You got to call it no deal, Jeff, because that's the language anyway. Bullet point two, only Scotland and London.
No treaty. It's called no treaty. That sounds better.
Well, okay.
No treaty.
We can call it no treaty.
Carry on.
only Scotland and London would rather stay in the EU then leave with no treaty. There we are. The third one.
There you go.
the same survey of 2,000 voters revealed almost half want May to resign as PM. And the last one, among Leave voters, there is even more discontent with the Prime Minister. Absolutely. And the thing is that most of those Leave voters were Conservative backers. So that'll tell you a lot right there, guys. Just in that bit of information, because again, like I say, I don't put a lot of stock in polls, but when the lefties take a poll, usually they're hoping for results that they can use, and you know, it just didn't happen this time. There's a lot of sentiment out there, Jeff, and I did give you this story, but I'm going to give you this next story too. Now this one, you know, we're ready to play an audio on, brother, and that'll take us right to the break. This
no,
one
I'm
here,
smart,
yeah, this one here, guys.
Give me time to calm down a little bit. I'm like ready to blow my top, man. You know. It's been just getting there, mate, you know.
Sorry
to our listeners, but, you know, sometimes you need to know, and I know there's so many people who's just like me, you know, who feels this. You know, I look at it this way, Dave. What they've done is totally destroyed democracy. I heard them talking in the House of Lords, and there's some really, some of them there do speak and trying to reflect on how we're feeling, what's going on. And I think they all know this is such a critical time ever in our history. I mean, someone did say, where's Oliver Cromwell? Wish Oliver Cromwell was here now. And I replied back, look, you know, Oliver Cromwell isn't here. You are here. Them 17.4 million Brexiteers are there, and more people who still jump. A lot of the ones that remain have realised now what's happened. A democracy has been destroyed, and that's the worst thing anybody can do that rules this country, who governs
this country. Man.
They are an illegal parliament, Dave. I can't call them. Everybody now who sits there are illegal. And they're feeling the heat. They're all feeling the heat. I'll tell you that now.
That's why they've got. That's why they're threatening to put 10,000 cops on the street in an hour and all that kind of mess. But Jeff, I'm going to go ahead and run this audio. This will give you guys a little bit of perspective, especially people who don't know a lot about the history of the UK. I learned a little bit when I screened this myself. Okay, and Jeff, you have the story. This again is from Breitbart. So give this a listen, especially you know our brothers and sisters from the States and you know people other countries in the UK. It's a very interesting perspective here. You know, it's almost like a critique of Obama versus the president.
To me again, unfortunately, I'm just getting a few issues where it takes a bit of time or it's not coming through. So could you just post it in our chat room?
And I will post that to you again.
Thank you,
okay. Dave. Here you go. I'm going to go ahead and post that right now. There it is, and there it is. Okay. Yeah, that's in your Skype there.
Sorry, I've already got it, woman. I'm getting worse.
No worries, Ben. Okay, guys, this is going to be just a little over 5 minutes. So you know, check us out. And you know, this will give you some good perspective, you know, about what's going on and what's gone on in the past. So here you go.
Delling Poll, May wins, worst prime minister ever title, by James Delling Poll on April 3, 2019. By George, I think she's got it. There were those who thought that Theresa May never had it in her, that she was just too charmlessly dull, too grindingly, maddeningly tediously vanilla, too robotically ordinary to clinch the title. And the competition was so stiff too. From Lord North, the Prime Minister who lost the American colonies, to Anthony Eden, the fellow responsible for our abject humiliation at Suez. From Tony Blair, the simpering Primatan spiff who took us into the Iraq War on a false prospectus, put thought crime on the statute books, and transformed Britain into nirvana for lefty human rights lawyers and SJW cry bullies, to Gordon Brown, the curmudgeonly loser at the helm during the last crash, not forgetting circus clown John Major and dodgy Harold Wilson and grocer Heath, the creepy chipster who dragged us into the common market on yet another false prospectus. Then there's Attlee, the hideously overrated socialist who gave us our Stalinist healthcare system, and Chamberlain, who thought he'd solved Hitler by waving that piece of paper. On and on the list of shame goes. But there's no doubt who's at the top. Not anymore. Theresa May is now beyond all question the worst prime minister in history. How did she do it? Well, it was a stroke of genius, really. She just reached the stage in her political career when there was only one sane and proper thing she could have done to justify her gravely mistaken decision to have a go at being prime minister of the greatest country on earth, deliver Brexit. And it would have been so easy, too. All she had to do was admit that her government had reached such an impasse on Brexit that it was impossible for her to proceed any further with her proposed withdrawal agreement, and that therefore she had no option but to accede to the electorate's clearly and democratically expressed wishes for a so-called no-deal Brexit. Then, having said that, she could have tendered her resignation. If she had wanted to be remembered favorably by history, this would have been a genius move. At a stroke, it would have silenced all those critics who have written her off as a thick, stubborn, grotesquely anti-democratic, willful anti-Brexit saboteur who presided over the destruction of the Conservative Party and the wrecking of the Constitution. In one bound, she would have become the nation's almost heroine, the woman who finally did the right thing once all the possibilities had been exhausted. But she blew it, didn't she? That's because all along she had her glowing red cyborg eyes on the greater prize. "You think I can't get any worse?" she asked the nation. "Hold my Prosecco." And that's when she did it. Here was her masterstroke. She became the Conservative Prime Minister who decided that the solution to the constitutional crisis enveloping Britain was this: to ignore the result of the biggest vote in history, trample over her party grassroots, make the Conservatives pretty much unelectable for a generation, and let the decision be taken instead by the opposition leader Jeremy Corbyn. Yes, by Red Jeremy Corbyn, the terrorist-supporting, anti-capitalist, anti-Semitic, anti-free speech, economically illiterate socialist who has decided, or rather his puppet masters have, that Britain can best honor the referendum result by staying in the customs union. The customs union being the part of EU membership everyone who understands the EU agrees is the most damaging and restrictive because it stops Britain making free trade deals with other countries and means that for all eternity Britain, the world's fifth largest economy, will have its international trading rules decided by its traditional enemies, the French and the Germans. If this is the outcome, then a heap of trouble lies ahead for the people who voted Brexit, and they are, remember, the majority. Also, this is how democracy is supposed to work, and everyone is aware of this, are not going to take this betrayal lying down. Here's a taste from Twitter. For a more measured response, here is Boris Johnson sounding very much like future Prime Minister material, dignified, robust, sound. "It's not democratically sustainable," he says. And he's right. But maybe the best comment on Theresa May's crazy decision effectively to hand over the reins of power to the socialist opposition leader Corbyn is this terrifying mashup image. Theresa Corbyn, the horrifying hybrid monster that destroyed Britain. A previous version of this article blamed the Suez crisis on Alec Douglas Home, rather than Prime Minister Anthony Eden. Home was Secretary of State for Commonwealth Relations at the time and, while his role in the affair is recorded, he was not Prime Minister yet and the article has been altered to reflect this fact.
Wow. I was
and
waiting
there you
to,
go,
to use the thing of Chamberlain. You
yeah,
know, and
they did.
I was just thinking with what Chamberlain said when he come back from meeting Hitler. "I have a piece of paper there that will give freedom to us and which stopped the war between us and the Herr Hitler," whatever he called him, Chancellor Hitler. And within a day or so, what happened? The Germans marched into Poland and whatever it was, and we had to declare war. So he or she can go down to being even worse than that. I mean, you know, to be put in that category. She's never going to be able to live this down. That matter where she goes, her life is never, ever going to be the same. She might think she can disappear out of the public eye. We know you, and you can run. You can hide. You can think you can disappear. What you've done to this country, Hitler couldn't even do. But you have tried your darndest create that, and you think that that 17.4 million Brexiteers are just going to go, "Oh dear, we're going to roll over and take it up the, you know, up the rear end." We're not like that. We're not like that.
Exactly.
I don't know if I want to continue, Dave, because I just look at what she's created. Look who she's in bed with. Look,
oh, yeah.
Dave, this is worse than anything. I don't know what. God knows what the people, our friends, in the United States and across the world are thinking about this. They know we're not. They know the real Brits, us, me, my sons, and the great British, or the English people are not going to put up with it. There is consequences to betrayal. There's consequences to destroying democracy. And they should have learned by history. And as your president once said, those who make peaceful revolution impossible will make violent revolution inevitable. And I will go on to say, viva the English Spring.
There you are. Yeah.
Done.
All right. Well, yeah. And that's good, Jeff, because now we can take a break. And I've got a little tune.
I need to have a drink of cold tea now, Dave.
Well, Jeff, you go ahead and call back in if you want, and I'll go ahead and play us a little tune. This one isn't a very long one. It's only about 3 minutes. About three and a half minutes. But I think you guys will like it. There's justifiable anger here in the UK. Or over there in the UK. I'm in the States. But there's justifiable anger there in the UK. And I'm just going to play this tune here. This is the sentiment that I think a lot of people have. And the more the UK government throws their form of democratic government into the trash can, or as you guys in the UK would call it, the dustbin, the more people feel the way that this song talks about. And I'm going to play it right now. So please stay tuned, guys, for the second half of the English Defense League radio show. We're going to have a lot of stuff. All right. So here you go. This is Alex and the Bandits.
News of the world said we are hooligans. We're the only people to defend your rights. And I won't stand by and watch this country die. So roll Britannia with the EDL. Go, man!
We're gonna make it.
were back.
Dome, that was by Al Great. Obviously, Vulpal Boy has joined us today.
What a boy.
He just called me an hooligan. And I said, yeah, mate, my middle name.
That's right. When his middle name isn't Spider,
I don't care anymore, Dave. I really don't care. I am who I am. I'm not going to pretend to be anything else than I am. I'm a patriot. I love my country, and I will fight and die for my country. I don't care what people call me. I know you're only joking, but just to let you know, everybody's roaring flame with what's going on in this country. We've never seen it. We've never seen anything like this, ever, our lifetimes. How many lifetimes?
Not in my lifetime.
400 years of lifetimes. No one has seen it. And once again, it seems like we're going to reflect back to a Cromwellian time. Illusion. And I don't just say that.
Yeah.
I say that because that is the beating the drums. And you've got the threats from the 10,000 police are coming. And you know who these 10,000 coppers are? You know who they are, ladies and gentlemen? Who they put over on the 30th of March. These are the foreign troops. They come over here, they're going to put on police uniforms, and then they think that they can go under their sort of rules of engagement. That means battering us. Got to remember, 10,000, 17.4 million people, you don't stand a chance, you mugs. You batter or hurt any of our people. We find it you're foreign. You'll be buried on these shores.
Yeah, I really don't think it'll go well.
I'm talking on behalf of the people of this country. You dare attack our people, our Brexiteers, our people who live and die on these shores. This will be your graveyard. That's not a threat. It's a promise. And I don't care the implications of what I've just said. It is what it is. So we will never surrender to scum or anybody else that tries to invade these shores or within these shores. The traitors within. I say that, Dave. I'm in trouble, but I don't give a shit, mate. No more. No more, Mr. Nice Guy. You know me, a soft and reserved type of chap. They've really pushed my button now, mate.
Well, yeah. I mean, the vote is a very sacred thing to, people who live in democracies or people who live in a republic like the United States. You know, the vote is a very sacred thing. When people take a vote, they take a vote, and that's the way it's supposed to be. It doesn't matter if it's electing somebody or if it's a referendum. All right. At that point, the people have spoken. And when the government just says, we don't care. What do they expect? Well, the one thing's for sure, though, Jeff and listeners, is they're on the wrong side of history. They think they're on the right side of history. I mean, I have this theory of mine. It's a little private theory, and it only has my political spider sense as its basis, and her actions, and that is that I think that Theresa May was chosen. By the powers that be, in the Conservative Party that had hijacked the Conservative Party for the left, and they told her, okay, go in there, play around for a few years, but the last thing you want to do is give the people Brexit. That's the last thing you want to happen. You do not want a no treaty Brexit. We want to stay in the EU because we're getting our pockets lined with lots of euros. Okay. So I think that all along she has just been playing around and playing a game and playing everybody when she never ever really intended to do anything about Brexit. That's just my theory. You know, I could be wrong.
Yeah, I've got to respond to what Volk says. He goes on to say, I said about that hooligan bit. He said, and I always thought your middle name was Fatwa. Did you really, Volk? whose side, he says, was the Cavaliers and the Roundheads? Well, the Cavaliers was the Queen or the King's soldiers, and the Roundheads were the opposition, you know. So the go, and he goes on to say, we shall fight them on the beaches, in the streets, and even in the schoolyards. We shall never surrender. He does make me laugh. He's a funny guy. He goes, also goes on to say, the EU says, he doesn't mean me, but he must mean this illegitimate government, because that's what they are, folks. They are the illegitimate government. They've gone against our democracy. They do not deserve to be in any sort of a power position. That's why I look at it, and so does many millions of us across this country. He goes on, he says, the EU says you are irresponsible to cast a vote. So they are going, they say, going to all do a decision making for you. Yeah. And that's what they
the
think.
EU says.
That's what
the EU
thinks.
Says the people of the UK are irresponsible. There.
Yeah.
No, no. The EU thinks that the people of the UK are irresponsible. Who was it that brought in over a million now Mohammedans with no skills at all? Who was it that did that on dumb premises? We have a shrinking population. Instead of trying to do what Japan is doing, which is offering incentives for people to get married, all right, and have children, instead of doing stuff like that, that wasn't Japan, that was another country. But instead of offering those incentives like that, they bring in well over a million now. I mean, God, it could be close to two at this point. Mohammedans, men. Not men and women and children, but almost all men of military age, fit men who have no intention of assimilating at all into European society, and they're not. They have Sweden has practically surrendered to them. It's practically an Islamic state at this point, So who are they to call anybody else irresponsible? That and the fact that their economy is trashed. They have to have money from the UK. They have to have money from outside sources because they brought in so many welfare parasites that they can't feed them all. And they dare to call the people of the UK irresponsible for not wanting to be a part of that? No, bite
me. Yeah, exactly. Also, Dave, you got to think that this was planned long ago. This was planned quite a while, maybe in between that 3 years of the thinking. Because why would she invite foreign troops on our shores and then all of a sudden you find out there's 10,000 policemen going to be on the streets? Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? Is that coincidental? And of course it's not. It was pre-planned, ladies and gentlemen. It always has been pre-planned. But they think they're going to frighten us. We've dealt with Hitler before. We've dealt with the Spanish before. The Argentinians, you name it. You don't put people in front of us and try to make us frighten. You don't frighten us. My guns, this, that and the other. There's more of us than them. And they will soon be defeated. Wave after wave after wave of people will come. The assault will be continuous. That's how it will end up. You will, yes, I've got to say, I know that a lot of my brothers and my sisters out there, I know the sacrifice that will be paid. I know it is. It's grave to say these words, Dave, but it's that serious that you've got to speak that way. You know,
certainly.
That is it. For what we're standing for now, Brexit and all that it stands for, is bigger than anything. Attack our democracy, destroy our democracy, that, I'm sure, is a declaration of war against us. That is us, the freedom-loving people. They want to turn what they've got now, Dave, right now, is tyranny. They haven't got a parliament as such. They've just got a tyrannical rule that they think the EU will back them up, send their soldiers here to wipe us out. Because all these Muslims turning up, all week in, week out, millions of them across the country. We know this is all about population replacement, social engineering with the likes of Jeremy Corbyn and them ticks out there.
Yep, That's exactly what it's about.
Ladies and gentlemen. It's always been about that. It's our time now. You, the people, the sovereign people, don't forget they call themselves sovereign parliament. They're not sovereign. They are an illegitimate government. That is it. They think they rule. It's we, the people, who put them in power. It's us, the people, who can remove them from power one way or another.
You got it, Jeff.
Well,
you're right, man. And I want to get to the second part of the show because we're beginning to get kind of scarce on time. But I want to get to the second part of the show. The second part of the show, when talking about in the script, we're talking about the people who are ignoring the referendum. But there's also the people who want to silence people that disagree with them. And
yeah.
I've got an example here, two examples. One example of speech that they approve of and they like and they protect, and then a second example of speech, of a story here that we expected to happen. But yeah, it's an example once again of crushing free speech. So I'm going to start with this one, Jeff. This is about 2.5 minutes long. So if you're ready, I'll go ahead and play this one. This is, as far as I know now, I don't know what the complete nomenclature of this audio. This was sent to me by BZ, who runs BZ's Berserk Bobcat Saloon, which can be heard at 11 p.m. Eastern, Tuesdays and Thursdays on SHR Media here in the United States. And this apparently was some Mohammedans who had an issue with Geert Wilders being in the United Kingdom. And this was taken in the UK. So give us a listen, guys. I'm going to start it up now, Jeff.
How is it that this man is now scared? He's running scared. He can't come out of the buildings. And the police and the government are here supporting him and protecting him from the Muslims. Geert Wilders, the message is to him is to come outside and face the Muslims. Come outside and feel how the Islamic punishment should be on him is obviously one, only one. And he's so scared. Where did all the freedom go? And where did all the democracy and everything? Let him come outside. Let the police go home. 2 minutes. 2 minutes and see how he's faced with the Islamic view on all of this, what he said.
The Muslims are gathered here today because the guy at the back, Geert Wilders, has insulted the Prophet and insulted the Quran. And as we know, the Muslims, the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever insults the Prophet, faqtiluhum. Kill him. So we are here to let the people know that we are not going to stand for this no more. That we are here to let the people know that the British, the UK, are hypocrites. Yet they prosecute the Muslims for incitement and racial hatred. And yet he says so many things against Islam and says so many things about Quran and nothing happens to him. And he gets granted to come into the UK. So we're not going to stand for it here no more. We have come here to let the people know that this is no more. So let the whole world know that we need him. And if we had an Islamic State today, his head will be on the stake.
Yeah, you see, Geert Wilders, the things that he said was anti-Islam, anti-Muslim. And this is not something...
Wilders, but if he goes, wherever he goes, let him know that Islam will come. Islam will dominate. Islam will dominate the east of the east and the west of the west. So no matter where he runs, the stock, Islam will be implemented. So he can go and crawl under any rock. That he can go and crawl under any rock he wants in Europe. But no, Islam will come and it will conquer the UK. It will conquer Holland. It will conquer Rome. It will conquer the world. Islam will enter the house of every person on this world and it will either elevate the person or will humiliate the person. And we will see the believers victorious. We will see Israel destroyed. We will see the European crusaders destroyed. And we will see Islam dominate.
All right. So there you go, Jeff.
Is that all you got to say, pal? Is that all you had to say? They've been saying for ages. I remember it so clearly, Dave. They're allowed to get away with that, threatening death on Git Wilders there. It's quite obvious they wanted to take the police go away. We'll deal with him because they want to behead him. That's quite obvious. That's what I said. These are the people that they've invited in. I didn't invite them. No one else I know invited them in. It's what our politicians, it's all, as I said, this is all about population replacement. And, of course, it causes as much havoc. Because they want this new world order, Dave. They want this globalist dream of theirs out there. And they think that the caliphate and what... Well, if the caliphate's been destroyed, it's been wiped out. Your president wiped out the caliphate, Dave. You know, in 2 short years, boom. You know, he said what he was going to do, and he did it with the help, I've got to admit, of some really awesome people. Our SIS and our special forces out there. God bless you guys and all your guys as well, David. Absolutely awesome job. I'm so proud.
That's
when we work together, there's no one in the world to touch. I don't care the Chinese, the Russians.
Oh, no.
You bring it on, we will deal with them. That's what we've always been like, you know.
That's right,
but there's, you could hear the traitors, the thing in this country, allow this to happen to their people. How do they sleep at night knowing what's going to unfold? How could you go to bed at night knowing what's going to unfold, that this country's going to burn, that your towns and cities are going to be in ruin, what you've created? How would I would, if it was me, that I could never rest myself. I'd probably just have to... I'd have to put myself down one way or the other. I couldn't live with that. Yeah. You know, those people like them who sleep very peacefully at night, they don't care at the consequences as long. You know, it's like the Judas thing, the 30 pieces of silver. That's what they're all like, aren't they? The 30 pieces of silver.
Well, they got that, Jeff. Yeah. And now we're going to do our last audio here, guys. This one is a story that broke, you know, a couple of days ago. All right, and again, we've been expecting this. What you're going to hear from, this is about 7 minutes, and then that should pretty much wind up the show, Jeff. This is from Avi Yemeni, all right, and this was off YouTube. And we were kind of expecting this to happen, but guys, Jeff, if you're ready, I'm going to go ahead and play this, all right?
Yeah, go ahead, guys.
Okay. All right, I'm going to go ahead and play it now. Guys, this is the English Defense League radio show, by the way. Here we go.
I am live, I think so. Let me know if you're seeing us, hearing us, where you are, what time it is. It's already evening here in Melbourne, Australia. I think it's about 8:30, 9 o'clock. I'll wait for a couple of people to join us here, unless my channel's also gone. Nope, we've got a couple of people joining us at the moment, yes. I think the first comment's W2F, and that's pretty much the reaction I had. But it's been a long time coming, and it's something we've actually expected. So, YouTube has finally done what Twitter and Facebook have done, although they've slightly changed it to make themselves seem like they're not censoring people. But it is exactly what they're doing. And I'm going to start this with, make sure when this video is done, you know, if you're watching this on YouTube, go straight to tr.news and sign up to the mailing list, because the only real place you're going to be able to find Tommy these days is on that corner of the internet, the only corner of the internet that they cannot touch, that they cannot censor. So as we know, Tommy was originally banned from Twitter. Then grew a huge audience, especially through his period in jail, wrongly jailed, wrongly imprisoned, and again facing court for those same charges. Over 1 million followers on Facebook was suddenly pulled down. No specific posts, no, just the general pesky community standards that they keep throwing out there to let us know that they can just rip somebody down. Now, when that happened, there was a lot of pressure from especially UK government officials to have Tommy banned from YouTube too. There were a number of MPs who pushed that idea and tried to pressure YouTube. Now, at the time, YouTube seemed like they were doing the right thing. YouTube looked like they were standing up and defending free speech and defending the fact that Tommy, in their own words at the time, in their own statement, said that nothing he had done had breached their terms and conditions. And they even went as far as printing out in black and white why he hadn't breached their terms and conditions. Well, today, that's all changed. Due to the pressure of these leftist government officials, YouTube has backtracked, and their reason, and what they have done, so the way they have slightly changed it to save face, is they're not kicking him off the platform, but they've cut him out of all searches. So if you look up, and you can test this at the end of this video, you search Tommy Robinson, you will not find his channel. I'm subscribed to his channel. I can't find his channel. He can't live stream. He will not send it. There will be no notifications to any of his subscribers when he uploads a new video. So they're basically saying, we're not kicking him off the platform because he hasn't breached the terms and conditions, but we're going to silence him in a way that essentially he may as well walk off it. Like I said in the beginning of this video, make sure to jump on tr.news and subscribe. Whether you agree with everything Tommy says or you don't, it doesn't matter. It's not the point. The point is that these social media giants think that they have all the power. Until now, it seems like they have. And the only way to fight back is to ensure that they cannot touch, that these same elitists in the political class who think that they can pressure everybody to do whatever they want, we need to go to those same places that they cannot touch. And you can be the judge for yourself. You can see the content Tommy puts out. And I'm talking about people who haven't been watching him, who are not the biggest supporters in the world. Because this is unbelievable. This is disgraceful, what is happening in 2019. The level of censorship in 2019 is scary. It is scary. Now, I challenge YouTube to show us. You know, now that you've backtracked on your original statement in which you said Tommy did not breach any of your terms and conditions, one, what has changed? That you are suddenly now basically giving him, blacklisting his channel. There is no way to find him. So we get it. Good on you. You haven't kicked him off the platform, but you've taken off all notifications, all live streaming, and you've scrubbed him from your searches. What has changed since your original statement? Secondly, can you please, for the sake of transparency, show us which video specifically breached any of your terms and conditions? Because you have now banned Tommy Robinson. You can dress it up however you like, but to scrub somebody from your searches, to remove their notifications and their live feed ability, is banning. Guys, now it is more important than ever to make sure that the content that you're going to see on tr.news, you share every single one of them on every single platform you have. And if they start banning sites, we'll find a way around that too. Make sure to subscribe to the mailing list, because that is where you're going to get it directly to your inbox. And we'll give you the instructions in how to bypass their censorship. This is an information war. And what we have on our side is the truth. Transparency, integrity. But we need the numbers. Because like every war, every war, there's an information war. And in every war, the only way you can really, absolutely guarantee you lose is by giving up. So don't give up. I'm going to stand shoulder to shoulder with Tommy. I'm going to make sure to fight alongside him. I'm not going to let no censorship dictate who I listen to, who I get my news source from. And I'm begging you all, join along. Be part of it. You don't have to like everything somebody says. but you have to be willing for their to fight for their right to say it in a free and democratic society. Otherwise, we're gone.
And never a truer word spoken. There you are, Jeff.
Yeah, Will said, Abby, God bless you, brother, for those words. And yes, sadly, this is the. I think this is the most worrying thing about the total censorship of Tommy, is because he's got no, no way to keep in touch with apart from TR News, www.trnews.com. Basically, we know what's going on in his life. We know the how things have been for him. Isn't this a time that they could, do something really, goes beyond thinking, but they could assassinate Tommy, couldn't they, Dane?
Yeah.
You know, this
I
is
mean,
the,
anything's on
the
table,
thing that's
yeah.
worried me lately. And I've got to speak, honestly, I don't know, I hope anybody who's, we all think the world of Tommy, but
certainly
with what's going on, with what we've been seeing over the last few weeks or so, nothing I would put past these people. I can't call them people because they are evil. Evil personified. No, there's no doubt about it. These are driven by dark forces. We are at war now with dark forces. There's no doubt about it. They've declared war on us. We didn't want it. None of us want it. But when you force a people, you destroy our democracy. Oh, what is this country's built on? What do we give to the world? You want to destroy. There's good people out here that refuse to bend for you lot. You evil people out there. We will fight you every step of the way. And we will never, ever surrender to people like you. We're just starting to engage with you now. And you all know it. You know it. I'm not saying no more, Dave. Okay.
Certainly.
Well, let's hope not, man.
We'll keep a good thought for sure, because you're not saying anything more that isn't being said by, at this point by like tens of thousands of people at this stage.
All those tens of thousands of people that not got a radio show as such, we've got this opportunity to let the world know how serious and grave the situation is in this country.
Certainly.
We've never experienced this before. This is new learning to most of us. We never thought that we'd be forced to become a part of what's going to unfold over the. Well, we're not sure. It could go any time, couldn't it, Dave? It could go.
Totally.
The anger that I hear and see around me is nothing I've ever experienced before. I know, because I'm a part of that feeling, and it's in all of us. It's just what it is, Dave, that gets me? It's what our ancestors fought so hard and died to protect.
Mm-hmm.
And people like her, people like Corbyn, and these slags in the EU are trying to destroy. Take our democracy away. You do it your peril. And I mean all of you, all the bureaucrats out there, think that you could do this and just laugh at us. Who the hell do you think we are? We come and liberate most of your bloody countries, you muppets. We fought for people like you, die for people like you, you scumbags. We're not just going to roll over and take it. No, we will engage with you the best way that we know how. I'm speaking, Dave, this is me speaking. I'm not speaking on behalf of everybody. I know there's a lot of anger out there. I'm speaking me, Jeff Mitchell, radio host of the EDL radio show. I'm not even speaking on behalf of the EDL. Because I know, You know, I don't want to bring my brothers and my sister. I love my brother and sister, the EDL. I'm speaking as me tonight, Jeff Mitchell, the radio host. Dave, back to you, pal.
Well, you know, all I got to say is, Jeff, that the anger is definitely understandable. And this is a fight that we're in all over the world. And that is why, you know, in about a month or so, our two shows, the English Defense League radio show and the Unpleasant Blind Guy, are going to have a closer relationship, so to speak. So people who listen to the Unpleasant Blind Guy on SHR Media. That's what I'm talking about. People who listen to my show on Spreaker.com, you know, you're going to get considerably more from EDL Radio. And here on EDL Radio, we're going to be playing, you know, some promos from SHR Media and things of that nature. Because it's not just confined to one country anymore. The fight for civilization is it's everywhere. And the same things, in a way, in a sense, are going on all over the civilized world. While they're trying to deny Brexit in the UK, they're trying to completely destroy and deconstruct the United States of America. That's why we're going to be moving our show a little bit closer together.
You've always fought for it. The great United States have always fought for it.
Yeah.
You've got your liberation for this country for doing exactly that, doing exactly what we're about to do, Dave.
That's right.
Bless you guys.
Yeah.
And the tyranny that you had at the time, and you stood up and you fought against it. And, you know, you won a great independence for this great nation of yours. And our.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was a battle that you had to win. And look what a great country that you built. Wow. You lead the world, Dave. I mean, I just, you know me. I mean, I'm as much as you as you are me, and et cetera, et cetera. It just goes on, doesn't it?
Well, that's the point. We are brothers, and you know, we're brothers in the fight for civilization is what we are, and brothers in the fight for Judeo-Christian civilization. That's why I wrote what I did in the script, man. That's why I wrote what I did in the script, and we're just about at the end of the show. So I'm going to say,
it's gone tonight,
you know,
Dave, isn't it?
Yeah, it has.
Dave,
yeah,
would you
everybody.
Like to... I tell the great listeners, and I've got to thank Vulp about it. He's been sitting with us tonight. Bless you, Vulp. And I always like his little comments. You know, you're a great, great gentleman. Good to see you here tonight. And of course, all our great listeners out there. We know you don't always catch us, you know, online and such, but you catch us on our podcast.
Yeah.
And I do know because it reflects on our stats. Status and
that it
like,
does.
You know, we see it, don't we, Dave? So we really,
that it
really
does.
Thank
yeah.
you, guys. And remember, this fight is your fight as well. You know,
it
what
is.
We do, as it's the EDL, as Brexiteers, this is as much your fight as our fight, you know. We'll do what mm-hmm. we got to do, like we've always done. And we know the odds are against, we know the dark powers, but... You know, in the darkness, there's always that light that shines forth. We will be that light. We will be that light.
That's
but
right.
Dave,
yeah,
where can
yeah.
the great people find you on your awesome shows that you have?
All right, Jeff. Well, everybody, please check out The Unpleasant Blind Guy. That's at Spreaker.com, and that runs under SHR Media, and I'm also associated with the Western Free Radio Network. And my show times are, my regular show times are Monday through Friday at 1 p.m. Eastern, and that's 6 p.m. in the U.K., and I have new shows on at midnight Eastern on Saturdays, and that's 5 a.m. in the U.K. And right now I'm not exactly running a series, but I've got a show about, about the numbers and justifications and things like that involved in all of this fallout from the New Zealand the terrorist attack and everything else, and the fact that everyone seems to be bending over backwards to accommodate the Mohammedans. And the next show I have is going to be a similar program, after that there are going to be some changes, but I've already gotten a very nice review from someone who gets a sneak peek of my show. So look forward to that one on Saturdays, guys. And, you know, all I can say is that it's always a pleasure to work with Jeff and Jan. And, you know, when she can be with us, it's a pleasure to work with Leslie Ann Stovall. And I just want to say to the foot soldiers, angels and patriots and Brexiteers of the UK, as foot soldiers and angels, of course, and supporters of the English Defence League, you know, be blessed, be grateful for the love you have amongst yourselves and the love you have of other people and the love you have of country, and no surrender. Jeff, back to you, my brother.
No surrender ever, Dave, and I'm just trying to find a tune that I want to play us out tonight, Dave.
All right.
I'll get it. I've just messed it up. Dave, could you find the boys for me, Dave, please? Could you find the boys? I want to play it to all of our...
All right.
The boys.
Well,
you know,
that's the last thing. That's the last thing we want to do is lose the voice. You know what I'm saying?
No, we don't. But I've got to thank everybody for who's listening tonight on all your different devices. Thank you for joining us, and we'll be back again this Sunday with more details of exactly what's going on. Of course, building up for our demonstration next week, which will be at Wellington, Telford, that is, ladies and gentlemen. So we will be discussing that this Sunday. So, Dave, would you like to play us out tonight with the voice?
Right.
And this goes out to all the foot soldiers, angels, Brexiteers, and people who love freedom and democracy. This goes out to you guys, to everybody out there, you know. Dave?
Amen. God bless everybody.
Amen, brother.
You call out my
Believe it or not, Dave, I just got that all in. Of course, this goes out to you all. As I say, we are a very dangerous precedent, if that's the right word, of history. We are at this time. We knew this day would come. We knew this time would come, should I say. But have strength and faith in what you do and what you achieve. Because I know that we as a people can overcome all the evils that's put before us. You're good people. You're good people. You're warriors. You're from warrior stock. Don't ever forget that. Don't forget who we are. The English. The English. That's who we are. But anyway, once again, Dave, thank you so much, brother, for tonight. It's been one of those shows. As I say, thank you all so much for joining me. I know I've gone on one tonight. I'm on one and I can't help it. There's millions and millions and millions. Oh, by the way, next week, before I go, just to let you know, in London next week, there's going to be over 1 million people on the streets of London, Parliament, etc. I'll speak more about this come Sunday. We've also got a demonstration, the English Defence League demonstration. It's Wellington, Telford. And that should be pretty lively because we're told that the opposition are going to be about 20 feet away from us. It should be pretty lively. But anyway, I've got to thank you, Dave. Bless you, mate. And Jan, thank you for all the great. She does awesome work, that lady. She certainly does, doesn't she, Dave? But we'll see you again this Sunday. So from myself, from Dave, from our team, from the EDL, what a great statement that was tonight by the mission statement. The statement was read out by the EDL. Great scene out there, guys. You are awesome. Our unsung heroes, Dave. That's what they all are, but we thank you for everything you do. So for myself, Dave, from team, from everybody associated with EDL, with the Brexiteers out there, you're awesome, guys. You're awesome. We love you. We love you all. Good night. God bless. And see you this Sunday. And don't forget, no surrender. No surrender ever.